Hi guys, my name is Nastasia Ponomarenko. I am the 21-year-old founder and CEO of Connectful, a networking app for Gen Z and Nasty Fit, a fitness apparel brand. Just had a wonderful podcast with Ennis. Thank you so much for having me on here. Super, super great questions and great stories.
Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of I'm Made for More podcast. It's your host Ennis here, and today we have a very special guest. For the first time, we have an inspiring young entrepreneur on the show who's accomplished so much at just 21 years old. She's the author of From Dust to Discipline. She's a fitness enthusiast with over 500,000 Instagram followers and over 700,000 YouTube subscribers. She's also the founder of the seven-figure fitness apparel brand Nasty Fit and founder and CEO of The Networking app for Gen Z, Connectful. It's the one and only Nastasia Ponomarenko. Growing up in a traditional Belarusian household, being called average by her father, and not being allowed to walk at her high school graduation ceremony, Nastasia grew up with a chip on her shoulder. In this interview, Nastasia and I will talk about how you can get out of your own way and reach your full potential, how to grow your personal brand and YouTube channel in 2021, as well as some do's and don'ts while networking. Now, before we get into the show, I want to take a second to thank you for your continued support. If you're enjoying these interviews, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I'd love to see your feedback there. Now, without further ado, enjoy this incredible interview with none other than Nastasia Ponomarenko.
Nastasia, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super, super, super stoked.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this one. So the first question I'd like to ask is, if there's one topic or concept that you can teach the whole world relating to either life or business, what concept would that be?
I would say letting go of the ego and finding internal peace and happiness and fulfillment. That's been a big, big, big one for me these past couple of years, kind of letting go of the ego and becoming more who I am, like my true authentic self. And I think that's a huge power. That's the best thing ever. So it's a concept of like you know, when you grow up, you learn all of these things. You know, your parents say this, your society tells you that, and you have to unlearn it. And that's where awareness comes from. You have to like unlearn all of the preconceived notions, the judgments, all of that type of crap. So I am big into that.
You're sounding like the female version of Gary Vee right now.
What? No, I didn't get it. I'm not there yet. Not there yet.
I love it. So on a much more serious note, at what point did you realize the importance of letting go of the ego?
I would say when I became unhappy myself. So when I was 18, 19, that's when I got a lot more attached to like money because I started making more money and I was like, oh, all the things that money can buy. And I was doing it for like showing off reasons, right? I straight up like bought a Corvette when I was 19, when I turned 19, just because it's a Corvette, you know, like it's stupid. And so then I just had to let go of all of that type of stuff. It didn't bring any happiness and it wasn't making a greater impact to anybody's life and not my own. Also reading a lot of books has helped me a lot. So books by like Eckhart Tolle is just amazing. Power of Now and A New Earth is bomb. Don Miguel Ruiz, that was more in like 2018, like The Mastery of Self. There's The Mastery of Love and Deepak Chopra is a good one. Those are like all of the spiritual teachers and they all share the same things, basically. It's like they're different. One is a shaman, one is this, one is Buddhist, but they all have like the same kind of core concept. So
what book had the biggest impact on you?
Okay, so the first book I ever read in 2018 when I started reading was, and now I have a whole bookshelf because I love it, is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
That's a classic.
That was a good one, right? It was my first one. I think that one started it all off. And then A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle is really great too.
Totally. Think and Grow Rich was definitely a game changer for me as well. So I want to get into your childhood. Take us back. I know you were born and raised in Northern California, San Jose, I think, in a traditional Belarusian household. And you talk about how growing up, you felt pressure from your parents to play it safe, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a job that pays well, and so on, right? What was it like growing up in that environment? And what was your relationship like with your parents?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, my parents always took care of me physically and always loved me in the best way that they could and the best way that they knew how to. But unfortunately, a lot of that was like, there was not, and I talk about this in the book, I'm pretty sure, there was no emotional support, really. There wasn't like a, my mom never told me about like, let's say dating, let's say love, let's say life, like anything like that, really. She was never like, you know, watch out for this or you're doing great, or just any like positive, like words, affirmations, anything like that. And, no confidence was really instilled in me from an early age. So that's something that I had to learn to do myself. That's the only thing really. It was just like no confidence instilled. A lot of no's there. I heard a lot of no's growing up. It was like a mixture of no's. It was like, you're going to fail. You're simple. Like I've gotten told that I was simple for my dad, like a crap load of times.
Simple?
Like an average human, right? Like not capable of doing anything better than what he thought was better, I'd say. And I also learned growing up that that's just a projection, right? You know, insecure people project onto other people. You know, I would never, ever say that to anybody. I'd be like, you got this, because like you do, it's all mental, right? And you know this too. So that's a bit about my childhood. That's more of like the mental, emotional aspects of it. But honestly, I'm really thankful with the tough love that I received. Like tough love makes me not sensitive in a very sensitive society that we live in.
Totally. What do your parents do for a living?
My dad's a computer engineer. My mom is an accountant.
Nice. I actually went to school and studied computer engineering, but I knew that it was not for me, like not straight out of the gate. So yeah. Good for him. You got any siblings?
I have an older brother. Yeah, he also does computer engineering. So same route as my dad. Him and I are complete opposites in personality. He's more like my mom and I'm more like, I guess, my dad, a little bit more fiery. I'm the complete opposite of my family. I just like do what I want to do. And that makes them used to make them upset, because that's when I started like separating myself from where they expected me to go. And expectations like kill people. Like when you set expectations for your child or like anybody, and then you project that onto them, that's not like freedom, you know, it's not good for anybody.
What were you like growing up? Were you one of the popular kids in school? Were you like a good student? You know, if you and I were like homies back in high school or even like middle school, say, you know, what were you like?
I was not a popular kid, but I really, really wanted to be. I remember, middle school, elementary school. That's when I was like searching up videos, how to be popular,
really?
Like all of this. I was seriously obsessed with it. I was like, I want to be like the popular girls. I don't know where that came from. I guess just wanting attention. But I think everybody at some, whatever extent, wants to fit in, right? Maybe I just had it a little bit more than others, but never really happened that well. I mean, I was not a good looking girl like growing up, didn't have like all the nicest clothes, but I would say high school, I went to a small school. Freshman, sophomore year. So it was really easy to, I guess, do well. And I participated in lots of sports. And then that school closed down due to funding. It's a Catholic school. And then I went to another bigger Catholic school. Didn't have that. I didn't make any close friends. I was actually pretty, pretty lonely because I didn't have that like close group of friends. And I wasn't really interested in anybody really, because my priority back then was like fitness after school. Yeah, just didn't care that much.
I want to touch on something that you just talked about, confidence, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, wanting to be famous or wanting to be known or be popular was especially important for you because of your upbringing, you know, with your parents maybe not telling you that you were simple or average? Do you feel like that played like a big role in it?
I think subconsciously it might have, yes. I think I just... I mean, even in high school, I just wanted to, I don't know. There was this intrinsic drive in me that just, I have ambition inside of me. That's like, I think it's part of my DNA. But I guess it was just like better than average that I wanted to be. And so I guess a part of that does come with like
being powerful. And when you're like, whatever powerful means, I mean, yeah, you attain a certain level of like, I guess, notoriety. But that's something that I had to also get over. Like now I don't give two shits. You know, I really don't, because that's all ego. And I don't want to attach myself to something that is a delusion, you know, and doesn't benefit me. Like I want to make an impact. I don't care how many people are there necessarily.
I love that. I love that. I want to talk about entrepreneurship real quick. How, like at what point or what age did you get the, like the entrepreneurial bug, and what was your like earliest memory of being an entrepreneur?
It was started in middle school. I was just selling cases, like phone DIY phone cases. I was really artsy and craftsy, even though I was never good at it, but I just liked the idea of selling it and making money. But I was never like a straight up stud at it. I just did it, made the phone cases, sold them, bought some off of Amazon, resold those, but it was never super, super big. Like I was never really, really into it. I just enjoyed DIY. I enjoyed selling. But that's kind of when I first remember that. And then high school is when I was like, I want to start something and like make it my own. Like I just genuinely want to do that, because when you make something yourself, you own it, right? You could adjust it. You could make it however you want it. And I really like that freedom.
Yeah. What inspired you to start selling those, you know, phone cases? Was it like a video that you watched or something that you read, or like what inspired you?
I think, okay. So, you know, in middle school, how you have like those duct tape cases, you know, did you ever get into that phase? Like people did like duct tape roses and duct tape wallets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you had that, but we certainly did.
Yeah, we definitely and did I that.
Just, yeah. You know, those cringe middle school moments. And I really enjoyed it. I did look at YouTube videos on how to make DIY phone cases. And I thought those big, bulky, like sparkly pink phone cases were just like glittery and rhinestones, and everything was so beautiful. So I wanted to do that. I was like your typical girly girl back then.
Wow. Okay. And you just felt like you should just sell them and make some money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much money I made. I remember begging my dad to like buy me like, please buy me these cabochons so I could put them on the phone case. But yeah, it was really fun. It was just genuinely fun. I like making things and selling them.
Totally with you on that one. So I want to talk about your transition to social media, right? You know, you've grown your Instagram to over 500,000 followers and your YouTube channel to over 700,000 subscribers, which is huge, right? And, you know, we as humans, we tend to only pay attention and see the result or the reward. And, you know, we assume the journey was easy. So take us back. You know, what inspired you to pick up that first camera and upload your first YouTube video?
Oh my gosh. This was another thing, actually. This doesn't necessarily go into entrepreneurship, but I was super into it in sixth grade in middle school. I started a singing channel, and I straight up can't sing, but I just really wanted to sing like songs by Adele, like Set Fire to the Rain, and like all of these other songs. And I don't know how, but my classmates found out about it. I got bullied for it a little bit, and so I took it down, of course. I mean, you're an insecure, you're a sixth grader. Like, you're, of course, you're going to take it to heart. And then seventh grade, I started a makeup channel, and then eighth grade as well. But eighth grade, the seventh grade one, my parents found out about it. I got shy, of course, so I deleted it. And then eighth grade, I was like, I am making a YouTube channel. This is it. I am not going to take it down. I don't care what people say. And then just filmed some YouTube videos about makeup, because I was into it at that time. And then around 15, 16 is when I started posting fitness videos. And that's when that really took off. It was just, I was vlogging my journey. I was making a lot of fitness vlogs and lifting, because I used to power lift and kind of bodybuild as well, and lift heavy, of course. So a lot of people were really drawn by that. And I just vlogged certain parts of my life and people were drawn to it. So that's how my YouTube channel, I guess, blew up, so to say. Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed that you, when you first started off, I think your YouTube channel name was like Beauty Princess 04 or something.
Oh my gosh. It was Beauty Princess 04. You're correct. Yeah. I didn't want to mention it, but you're right. Yeah. Beauty Princess 04 was when I was like, I'm not deleting you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you started off with, you know, get ready with me type videos. Is that right?
Yes. And that's actually how one of my videos went
did really well was I filmed like a junior year of high school, like Get Ready With Me. Those do well. Yeah. People want to, especially if you're a high schooler, those do well.
When did you become passionate about fitness and wanting to start documenting your journey?
Fitness was my first love, probably. I became borderline obsessed. This was like 15 and a half, pretty young. So freshman year of high school, I remember seeing like all of these fit girls on Instagram. And I was like, whoa, they look so good. And that just turned it on for me. I was like, I want to look like that. And I just became obsessed. Like, I remember working out in my room for like 13 days straight. And when I used to play sports, right? But this is actually building muscle and toning your muscles. And so I got sore, of course, right? The first couple of days, still work out. I was just like, need to, absolutely obsessed and so passionate about it. So I started filming more about it. When I was 17, when I got more into the gym, I found, my powerlifting coach at that time, Aaron, who unfortunately passed away in 2020 last year. But he just like, he always trained this group of girls and he saw me and he saw potential in me. So he was benching and I was squatting. So he welcomed me. We like made eye contact. He welcomed me. And then we started talking and then it like happened from there. So I grew a gym family and that was so amazing to me. That was so much fun.
What do you think it was about you specifically that he saw in you?
I think just hard work. Like I was 17 years old. I was trying to squat 200 pounds at that time, Jeez. Like around there. Yeah, I know. I was obsessed somewhere around like 195, 190 pounds. And obviously my form was trash. So he probably saw that too. But yeah, I think it's just being young and hardworking.
Totally. There was this story that I want you to share of how obsessed you were with the gym for those listening that may not know. I think your dad took away like all your shoes or something like that.
You're good on your research, man. You're good on your research. Yeah. I could totally share that. My dad was mad at me. I forgot what, of course, because you always forget like certain events, but you don't forget like, yeah. So my dad was really mad at me. We got in an argument. And so he of course knew that I was really into the gym. So he took away all of my shoes, all of them. And so I had to dig into my closet and I found flip-flops. Cause I was like, I need shoes to go to the gym, man. And of course, flip-flops aren't allowed. And so I then Ubered, and I was like, what, 16, 17? So I Ubered to the mall and I got myself a sparkly, gold sparkly pair of Converse. I bought them and then I walked myself to the gym, which was like 15, 20 minutes away. And I had a good glute and leg day. Like, yo, you got to do what you got to do. Like, see, this is the thing. You will never stop me. I will not be stopped if I really want to do something. That's a good story. I love it.
I love that too. So back to your YouTube channel, like documenting, were you editing, you know, all the videos yourself or did you have someone editing?
I did it myself. I got a video editor. The only time I got one was like 20 years old. And now if I upload, which I don't do too often because I've just been like off of social media, really kind of, sort of, not as passionate about it. I still edit my YouTube videos if they're simple enough to do. But yeah, I always did the basic iMovie stuff. But so YouTube is where I started getting more subscribers. And then I just started identifying myself so much with fitness, even when it like was not a big part of me anymore when I was like, let's say 20 years old, because 19, 20 is when I was more into business and self-improvement, yet I was still filming these videos. I was still showing off my physique. And I came to a point in social media where I became super, super unhappy with what I was posting because it wasn't showing my true side, right? The story that I want to tell. And so that's also actually goes into the disattaching yourself, because when you identify yourself so strongly with something, and again, like I built a following through that. So I was like, oh, I know what does well. You have to kind of like do the whole reverse approach and say, screw it. Like this was me, but this isn't who I am now. And so I'm just going to start doing me. So that took a long time. That actually probably took like a year or so of like fully getting over. Now I'm like really over it because it took some time. But
But yeah, I mean, it went to a point when I was 19 where I like posted way too much about my body that I would never ever post now. And it did get a lot of like weird, you get creeps too. And nobody wants the creeps, right? Nobody wants that. No female wants that. So I also had to learn how to deal with like cyber sexual harassment, because obviously you get that. But it's all like a part of the journey that I learned. Like, I'm grateful that I learned a lot through it.
So you're uploading these fitness journey videos to your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
How did you know you had what it takes? Were you gaining a lot of traction like with those videos? Or how did you know that you had what it takes to succeed and, you know, build a great YouTube channel? And was there ever a point where you felt like you wanted to quit?
No point that I wanted to quit until like, I'd say 21, late 20s, when I wanted to focus more on business. But when I was really into fitness, yeah, I just filmed whatever I wanted to film, really. That was always it. It was fun. And I didn't care what anybody said or what anybody might have thought about me, because that's when my YouTube channel also started getting traction. So it's also like, F you haters. Like, I don't give, you know, I don't care, because this part of me is doing well, is how I thought about it back then.
Gotta love the haters. What advice do you have for, you know, new creators or someone who started their own YouTube channel, but it's not really, you know, getting the traction they want?
Yeah. So that's a good one. I think I might have, well, what I would recommend is genuinely like being authentic, because think about it now, social media, like in 2021, everybody wants to be a creator. Everybody wants to be an influencer. The market is so oversaturated, but it's not oversaturated for being like you and being like showing off like genuinely who you are as a person and your specific maybe niche that you have. I think that's really important, is to, for example, like TikTok. And I hear this a lot. Like, I've been listening to what people say, and they always ask, what TikTok, I don't know what kind of TikTok content I want to film. What should I film? And they ask people, what should I film? It's like, No, you should never, don't take anybody's advice, first of all, especially what kind of content you should post, because you should know like, oh, I like fitness. I'm going to post my story. I'm going to post my transformation or business. I'm going to post my business advice. I'm going to create little tweets and I'm going to upload them on Twitter. From Twitter to Instagram. And I have my certain truth, but I would say the best content that typically that I've seen do well is just like, show your life around, but do it in a way where it's, you don't give away too much, of course, like be private, but like public.
Totally. Okay. So you graduated high school and you got your, you know, high school diploma, but you actually weren't allowed to walk at the graduation ceremony. What happened? Tell us.
Screw that. Yeah. That's funny. Cause I noticed you were leading up to, you really got your high school diploma. I did, but yeah. So, this is another cool part of my story, I think, that I don't think about often because I just don't. But 2 weeks before graduation, I got called into the office, and my vice principal was like, there were three things that came up. One was like a parking ticket. Two was some sort of like something inappropriate happening with me and some other guy from school. But I was like, that's impossible. I've never like associate myself with any guys from the school. So what the hell, where'd you get this from? She didn't answer that. And the third one was an anonymous email from somebody saying that the content that I posted on Instagram was inappropriate. And keep in mind, I went to a Catholic school. There was no dress code, but it was a pretty strict school. And so then she basically said that I had to remove all that content. There were like 14, 15, somewhere around their post. Some of them including like genuinely just like me working out in like leggings and a sports bra. And that was like deemed inappropriate, I guess, by them. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm not doing this. I don't want to be forced to do something. Don't ever force me. Plus, I didn't like that student Dean, whatever her name was. I forgot now because it's like been years ago. So I was like, I'm not going to be forced to do something I don't want to do. And so I was like, I'll think about it and then I'll come back tomorrow. And then I told her I'm not doing it. My dad came into office as well. He was trying to be the middle man. He was like, no, do what the school tells you to do. Like, are you stupid? Like, you're going to get kicked out.
And I was like, I straight up just don't care. Because first of all, I think an important thing to keep in mind is I didn't really care about that school anyway. Like I never even made close friends. I never felt attached because I transferred schools too. And yeah, so long story short, I never took down those fitness posts.
And you got the last laugh now, right?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny, man. I didn't even want to be a part of that graduation walk because, again, like I had no close friends to even celebrate it with, so I could care less. I remember one of the posts, it was like a before and after picture about my just like body transformation from like 15 to 18 years old, like more muscle. I was super, again, like I was super, super proud of it. It's like your business growing or like a product that you're selling that does like 10 times better. Like that's how I felt with my transformation because I poured sweat, blood, and tears into that. I lifted hundreds of pounds for that. So it was something I was attached to, right? And so her saying that like this was too sexy and like hypersexualizing it when it was completely fitness-based, like I was proud of what I achieved. Just felt off, to be honest. And it was coming from another woman. Like, come on.
She was jealous, maybe. I don't know.
Who knows? I don't even care. I just hope she's doing well now. But yeah, so I got disenrolled, almost expelled, but they didn't do that. And that caused a lot of commotion with the school because a lot of the alumni were actually calling in and saying like, I can't believe you guys are doing this, like 2 weeks before graduation. Yeah, and I left and I was happy. I missed finals. Screw finals. Right. Screw school.
Screw school, I know. For real. So after high school, you went to San Jose University, at least for a little bit, right? But you ultimately dropped out. What was your thought process behind that decision? And how did you break the news to your parents?
Yo, another story. Oh my gosh. Ennis, this is like,
we can go on forever. I know we got,
no, you're good. I can make this super short. So basically, right after graduating high school, summertime is when I started focusing on Nasty Fit. Nasty Fit was a fitness apparel brand I started when I was 18. So yeah, that time. And I was going to that school to study entrepreneurship. And I already wasn't passionate about it. Like I took less classes than I should have. I just really didn't care. Didn't want to take the time to even do that. And then first day of school felt exactly like high school, honestly. Like you're going to a class. It just felt the same. I had a couple of hiccups. I thought it was a Tuesday when it was a Wednesday. So I went to the wrong class. I went to like a gender and sexuality class. And I was like, it was weird because I was like the only white person. I think it was a class for Hispanics. Because it was an economics class that I was supposed to be in. Long story short, I was driving back to school on the third day and I was getting really hungry. And I was like, crap, like I really want Indian food. I was like, damn, you know, I was driving, was having these cravings. And then I was thinking about it, like, should I miss school or should I just drive around and pick up my Indian food? Long story short, I called the Indian food place, turned around and like never came back. Like I was just like, screw it. And so with my parents, no, it's weird. It's weird. Like the rebellion that I guess had, but I just really wanted to do what I wanted to do. I told my parents a couple of months after, they were always asking me like, how's school? I'd be like, it's fine. But I never went because I didn't want to. And my parents were upset, not angry, thankfully, but upset for sure. And my mom still asks me when I'm going to go to college. I'm like, Mom, I'm not going to college.
Because they're like traditional. Because I come, you know, from a
traditional.
Yeah, I come from like a immigrant family too. School is like super important for me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the balls to drop out, even though I, you know, did not really enjoy school. But
Middle Eastern parents.
Yeah. So my parents are actually from North Africa in Libya.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. To foreign parents, it's a different mindset that they have. It's definitely more traditional. And like, you know, I feel like also a lot of students, a lot of kids have pressure. Like I know there's a couple of girls that I know that either go to Harvard or like these great schools and they aren't passionate about college, but they want to make their parents proud and their parents want them to go through this college process. And it's just like, meh. You don't want to be forced to do something you don't want to do, in my opinion.
For sure. I agree. Now they're looking back.
Now they're looking back. Yeah.
So there are so many questions that I want to ask you about Nasty Fit, but you know, because we're limited on time, I just want to get in to Connectful. your new app, sure, right? So at what point did you realize that, you know, you built this huge audience for fitness, you know, on YouTube and Instagram? At what point did you realize that fitness was sort of like your platform, right? But not your purpose?
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I was probably 19. So it was a difficult transition, not difficult, but like mentally difficult to like disattach, right? But so the idea of Connectful came to me when I was, this was December 2019. Two things. One, I was feeling really unfulfilled with Nasty Fit, which again is the fitness apparel brand. It was doing really well and making a lot of money, but I just not the type of impact that I want to make on society. And two, I was feeling really lonely because I never had any like-minded entrepreneurial women, like female friends my age, or just that group around me. I was like going to Barnes and Noble every day in the evening, just feeling so freaking lonely because that's what I did. I was alone all the time. The only people I really saw were my parents, and the friends that I had, or a couple of friends, were not entrepreneurial. Like there wasn't that relation. So then I was like, oh, screw this. I'm going to start thinking in Barnes and Noble. And then for like 10 minutes, I was like, what kind of problem can I solve? Like, what kind of impact can I make? What is a problem I'm going through that I could solve? And so that's when like the idea of creating a platform where people can meet other like-minded people came about. And so after that, I was like, okay, this is perfect. This is like amazing.
Take action, execution.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do it.
I'm sure a lot of people ask you this question, and me personally, I know the answer to it, but how does Connectful differ from other networking, you know, apps out there? Like for example, LinkedIn.
Yes. Thank you. So Connectful is made for Gen Z. And so we've actually been targeting for young adults, but now we're pushing it to just like Gen Z, entrepreneurial Gen Zers, those who are game changers, people like you and I. And I would compare it, and how other people have been comparing it to, as like a Tinder for networking, even though it's like not, there's no swiping, even though people say swipe, there's no swiping there. And so what we're going to do is turn more video based as well. So you'll have like a video intro of yourself instead of the typical like stale and outdated profile picture bio. We're slowly changing it to just a video, kind of like TikTok style. You see a video full screen. Might get into machine learning as well, because when we say we want to connect like-minded people, I want to mean that. Like I want the algorithm to show exactly who you want to network with. So Ennis, for example, you are on the platform, you press connect, you press no, the algorithm will know kind of what you like. And so we want to get into that. And so just overall hoping to dominate the networking market for Gen Z, I think it's a possible thing. I want a co-founder so bad, but it's possible.
I love it. Connectful's, I've been using it for it's been like a month now.
You've had like over 70 connections. You've been really doing well.
Yeah, definitely. What I like is it's like genuine conversations, right? You know, sometimes you connect with somebody and you know, it doesn't work out, but like for LinkedIn, you connect with somebody at this point, at least, it's like they just send you their whole sales pitch right away. It's not really, you know, they're not really looking to connect, where I think Connectful is at that stage right now where it's like super genuine and building real relationships. And I've been able to connect with some people over Zoom. So it's been awesome. So I definitely recommend whoever's listening, go check it out. It's on Apple for now, right?
Apple for now, yeah.
Love it. So obviously networking is super important for, you know, personal and professional growth. How has building a powerful network, you know, impacted your career so far?
It is the number one thing, or it is one of the best things, because especially as entrepreneurs, and I guess creators, but as entrepreneurs, speaking from my personal standpoint, like you identify yourself, like this is my life. Basically, I work on myself, whether it be like business, it's mainly business that I spend most of my time on, of course. And so then like networking for me is more of like a friendship. It's not a like transactional thing. It's not I need a mentor or I need a job opportunity. It's like, I just need people around me who are like-minded, who also have businesses, who also like have the same interests as I do. And we could grow together. Like we could help each other, whether it be business or personal life. So that's how I think of networking as. It's like both a professional and a personal like benefit.
Oh yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I preach that all the time. But you know, what are some do's and don'ts for network for beginners, you know, that are listening, that want to build a powerful network?
I would say the first one is to come in with some sort of intention. And even this is what I've noticed with Connectful is that people are on there and like some people are on there and they don't know exactly who they are looking for. And so that could cause a little bit of like not as much success as if you were to come in to networking with like, I want to find like-minded friends. I want to find a mentor, et cetera. With anything in life, having some sort of a clear vision or a goal is so much better. It's 10 times better than not having anything. I would say to also, I guess, show your best side as well. Like you have to form your bio or you have to introduce yourself in a way that is enticing to other people. Like a lot of people that some people that I see on Connectful are like, I do this, I'm that, I'm looking for like-minded friends. And it's like, this doesn't entice me to want to connect with you. Like add something special to yourself, something interesting. So I would say another tip is like present yourself in a better way, but something that's still, of course, authentic and real. You don't want to completely lie.
Well, there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you did, please take a minute and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. I'd love to see your feedback there. And for more inspiration, be sure to go follow Nastasia at Nastasia Ponomarenko. And until the next time, dream big because you, my friend, are made for more.